Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of Paranormal Horizons. Hello, everybody out there in the internet land. I am Jason Ophir, one of your hosts, here with none other than my co-host, Sherry Pang. Sherry, how's it going?
Good. How are you, Jason?
Not too bad. Just being extra lazy as usual. How's your week been?
Very good. Very good. Busy with readings and teaching yoga and yes, I'm just recuperating and ready for another new week.
You got to teach me how to do some yoga. I need some, like, relaxation. And I understand yoga is very centering.
It is, very much so. And it really is very beneficial, even for people who are physically compromised. It's really good.
Well, not only am I physically compromised, I'm also mentally compromised. But anyhow, so yeah, we got a killer show tonight, something that you and I both enjoy doing. We're going to have a call-in show, and hopefully we can get some people to call into the show and tell us about your paranormal experiences. If you want to call into the show, our number is 215-383-3999. That's 215-383-3999, and share some paranormal experiences or talk about anything paranormal. So we'll, depending on how many callers we have, we'll keep it short if we have a lot of callers, maybe 5 to 10 minutes apiece. And other than that, looking forward to having a great show this evening and hearing people's stories out there.
Absolutely.
I know I have a lot of paranormal stories. We could always do that, but it's always boring when I talk too much.
Yes, you do, Jason. You do talk too much.
Yeah, I know. My whole life is a paranormal story.
Is it really?
Pretty much. Well, I would say the first half of my life was a lot of paranormal.
Well, they say that life is an illusion.
And I kind of believe it is. What if it is? What if we're in the Matrix? What if we're in a video game like a Sims on some alien planet and we're not really here? It's kind of terrifying.
That could be. Oh, my goodness.
So while we're waiting for callers, I don't know, did you have anything you wanted to talk about? I did pick a I kind of like doing these top 10s, so I got a paranormal top 10 that I could go through and talk about some things that have to do with UFOs. Or if you have something that you want to talk about first.
Well, I was very intrigued on one article I was reading this week about a funeral company. And I don't know if any of you follow our page, Paranormal Horizons, on Facebook, but I did blog it. there's a funeral company out in Arizona that, you know how people, when they're in the coffin, they're laying flat? Well, this particular company specializes in different poses. So they gave an example of a lady who lost her son. He was actually murdered and was shot. And instead of laying in a coffin, just like most people you see in a viewing, he was literally sitting upright. In a way, they did really a good job as far as makeup and hairdo, because you could see the before picture when he was alive and how he was dead. And he was posed as he would have been as he was alive. He had a hat that was a baseball cap that was, the reverse side, and he had a cigar in his hand, and his legs were crossed. And it was quite interesting how they make customized poses for their loved ones. So I do have to put it out there, a little bit morbid, but it was a little bit different than what most funeral homes have as far as having their loved ones and dear ones in the coffin laying flat with their hands crossed and, you know, just very sleeping, very serene and sleeping in a very, very quiet position. So anyway, just want to share that with you.
You know, I've seen that several times. It's rather eerie. It totally does not appeal to me. But you got me thinking. So when I die, if somebody does that to me, what is going to be the position I'm known for? And it'll probably be laying in bed watching Netflix.
And what position in bed?
Yeah, that's how I'll be. Or the other option, of course, is to be sitting at a desk with a bunch of lab supplies, like a centrifuge and blood vials and stuff. One of those two.
Oh, that's crazy. Oh, well, with me, it'd probably be either a Tai Chi pose or a yoga pose.
Well, I think back in the day, I don't know if the 1800s or whatever, sometime when looked like photography was in its infancy, they used to do that sort of thing, and it seems like it's coming back, you know, where they would pose their deceased children or whatever, like you're talking about, you know, 100 or plus years ago. So it's interesting.
It's very interesting. Okay, shoot, Jason.
All right. Well, my top 10 today, and I'm going to try and keep my eyeball on our phone line so we can take a caller. Is the top 10 UFO stories from the Vietnam War era. And so it's not necessarily having to do with Vietnam or the Vietnam War, although there are stories and sightings during the Vietnam War, but it's also some stories during that time period in the late 60s and early 70s. So there's number 10 is the HMAS Hobart. That's the title of this short little experience. Although the North Vietnamese had helicopters early in the war, they rarely used helicopters by the middle of the war. Thus, a lot of UFO sightings from the war revolve around bright floating objects because crews knew that they could not be North Vietnamese helicopters. In June 1968, Australian spotters saw 30 floating lights near the DMZ, that stands for Demilitarized Zone, fearing another Tet Offensive style attack, NATO forces promptly scrambled F-4 fighters and patrol boats to intercept. The lights turned seaward and came under fire from various ships in the area. Unfortunately, a U.S. Navy Swift boat got hit by friendly missiles and sank, killing five of its crew members. Among the confusion, the Australia destroyer, HMAS Hobart, sat ready to engage the enemy. At 3:30 a.m., the commander called action stations when the radar room detected an airplane coming in fast with no IFF, and IFF stands for Identification Friend or Foe. It must be some sort of beacon. The plane opened fire on the HMAS Hobart, damaging the ship and killing crew members. Throughout the confusion, the F-4s tried to make contact with the floating lights, but there were only a few inconclusive engagements. Later that night, the pilots returned to their base. The next morning, no wreckage of enemy helicopters was found, even though there was a flurry of anti-aircraft fire trying to intercept the lights. Eventually, the incident was chalked up to atmospheric disturbances or possible helicopter activity. Isn't it always when something like that happens, it's always chalked up to atmospheric disturbances? I mean, there's no doubt that there are certain phenomena that are, you know, uncommon that could be interpreted as UFO sightings. But anytime anything happens, oh, it's atmospheric, it's a meteor, it's ball lightning, la, la, la. So General George S. Brown, commander of the 7th U.S. Air Force, went on record after the war with his beliefs. Although the government had grouped all UFO sightings under the heading of enemy helicopter activity, Brown believed that the Hobart incident was a case of UFO interference in military operations. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. They thought it would have been unusual to see lights over Vietnam because they pretty much didn't really have any helicopters for very long. So, very interesting story. And I do see that we do have a caller. So, let's take that caller, and hopefully this caller has a paranormal experience they want to share.
Definitely. Okay.
Hello, caller. Hello? Welcome to Paranormal Horizons.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you? Who are we talking to?
Jessica?
Hey, Jessica.
Hi.
Hi, Jessica.
Hello.
do you have...
Well, I do.
Oh,
I'm sorry. You didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no. It's all good. Yeah, share us your experiences.
Well, I don't know if you remember the last time you guys did an open mic or open call in. I called in and told you guys about what happened in Virginia when I was in the military, about the wicked haunting we had.
I do remember that. That sounded
okay.
Wicked, yes.
Yeah, it was awful. Anyway, I had another experience a few years later that I've always kind of felt in my gut that it was related. It actually happened to my daughter. She was 4, but I caught the last probably 10 or 15 seconds of it. But I, you know, she told me explicitly what happened, and I can say what I saw. So I was going to talk about that.
Yeah, let's hear it.
That would be great.
Okay. So after I got out of the Navy, I moved to Ohio, and we were living in Columbus, the capital there. And I had this little townhouse type apartments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she was probably 3 or 4, maybe, pretty young. And I had put her to bed around 8, and I went to bed. Now, she remembers it as she didn't sleep the entire time. Like, bedtime was 8 o'clock, and this incident happened to her around 3 in the morning, and that's what time I got woken up. And so for her, she had kind of like a missing time thing happen there. But anyway, I'm dead asleep, and it's, you know, right around 3:15 as usual, for me anyway. And I hear this blood-curdling scream from her bedroom. And I come running in her bedroom, and I fling the door open, and I saw this black, slithery, misty stuff hovering over my kid. And I slam it with as much white light energy as I could muster at that moment. Just slammed it with everything I had, and it hit it, and it saw me, it looked at me, and its, like, eyes got big. It had, like, red eyes, and it flew into her closet, and the closet door slammed shut. And my daughter slept with me until she was 12. You could not get that kid to sleep in her own bed.
That's wild.
Yeah, it was really wild. Now, how she remembers it, she said, like I mentioned, that she had some kind of lost time or something, because to her, this happened right after she went to bed, but it was, you know, actually 3 in the morning. But for her, she never fell asleep. And she said there was just a little bit of light coming through the window from her street lamp, you know, the street lamp outside. But her bedroom was very, very dark. And she saw her closet door kind of move and creak. She heard it creaking. And she saw these tendrils, like black, long black tendrils, hooking around the closet door and then sliding it open.
Oh,
and
my.
This dark mist is slithering on the floor towards her bed, towards the head of the bed. So she's like across from the closet door. If she was sitting up in bed, she'd be looking straight at the closet door. And she sees it coming towards her, and she's like paralyzed. She can't move, and she wants to cry out, but she can't. And she says that it comes slithering, and as it's slithering towards her, the mist becomes more solidified, and it comes up over the rail or of the bed, over the side of the bed edge, and it looks at her. Like, it hovers over her, and she said it had, like, a hood almost with, like, glowing reddish eyes, not, like, super bright red, but red smoldering eye thingies. She said she couldn't see them with her eyes, but she could feel that it was staring at her and see it in her mind, what it looked like. And as it hovered over her bed, she said she somehow found the strength to scream. And when she screamed, that's when I came in, and then she remembered the door flying, the bedroom door flying open, a big ball of white light hitting the thing, and then we both saw it go into the closet. And she was terrified. She wouldn't sleep by herself ever until she was 12, and it was a struggle to get her to do that. It was horrible. And I have always thought that it was that thing in Virginia, whatever it was in Virginia, that we experienced. I had always had the feeling that it was coming to check on her to see if she was ripe for the picking or something. It was,
That sounds terrifying. But that almost sounds like alien abduction or something. I mean, if there was really missing time and the fact that she was paralyzed and couldn't scream. But then again, the time is interesting as well, because they say at 3 a.m. is when there's a lot of demon activity, because it signifies the mocking of the Trinity. But I don't know.
Right.
I've never heard. I'm very familiar with alien abduction. I've had some pretty interesting experiences myself along that line. I've never heard a description of abduction like that, but you never know. There could be some sort of interdimensional beings or...
Right.
Who knows?
And how she described it... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. You know what it sounds like to me, and without seeing, but my feeling is it's like it's like a demon origin, some black entity that is not... maybe not of this world. It's almost like I feel like it's, as a psychic medium, it feels like it's like a demon of some sort that is trying to take her soul. That's my first impression, but I could be wrong. What's your feeling on that, Jessica?
Well, I tend to agree, because the thing in Virginia had the similar feeling. You know, I've always kind of thought that it was definitely not a ghost, for that matter, but more of an actual interplanar demonic or evil entity type thing. And the way she described it, she felt like her soul was at stake. She was terrified beyond anything, you know, on the physical plane. So I don't know. It could have been. You know, and it could have been, I don't have that much experience with the alien stuff. I've only seen a UFO once, and I had an extraterrestrial experience in Canada. And that's it. I've had a lot of ghost experience and stuff like that happen to me, but never alien. So I don't know. I never even thought of that, actually.
So did this thing follow you on the way, you know, after you left the place or rented another place? Did it actually follow you guys or what?
I don't know. I don't think it followed us as such, but I do think that it was checking. Like, you know, something had a list and was like, oh yeah, remember that thing? Remember we wanted that little ball of white light, 4 years ago? Why don't you go see if it's unguarded? You know, I don't know. It was, oh my gosh, I don't know. Because what happened in Virginia was so horrible, it very well could have been sniffing around again.
Now, from what I remember from your Virginia story, at some point there was a being or some sort of creature looking through a skylight that had red eyes. Was that true?
Yes.
Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes, you are. And I later thought that it was a Jersey Devil type thing, because I'd seen descriptions and stuff of the Jersey Devil on a documentary, and I was like, oh gosh, that's very similar to what I thought was on the roof in Virginia. And I didn't really see the eyes of this particular entity 4 years later as in detail as my daughter. So it could have been the same thing. I don't know, because she was a newborn at the time in Virginia. So she wouldn't remember it either. And I didn't see it up close and personal when this thing happened 4 years later in Ohio. So I don't know. That's a good question.
Now, what's going on with you now? Has there been any paranormal activity?
Oh, well, yeah, I've had quite a bit of paranormal things happen throughout my entire life. I haven't had anything like that ever happen again, though, no. I take pretty significant measures to protect myself and my family with, you know, I smudge, sage, and do blessings on my home frequently, pour salts around the perimeters, and, you know, I do a lot of stuff like that to keep the icky out because I've had a few bad experiences. So I usually have my wards up all the time. But I did some ghost hunting in Ohio and had some interesting results, but nothing like this stuff in Virginia or the first incident in Ohio, no.
Why do you think that these entities are attracted to you and your daughter? Was there any kind of activities that you were involved with, like a cult? Because from what I remember, you weren't doing anything in the occult. It was just that haunted place you were staying, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I wonder why they're just taking a liking to you and following you around.
I don't know. My best guess would be because I'm spiritually sensitive and clairvoyant, and I can see them. So that could be part of it. I have a pretty strong, bright aura, and they may be attracted to that. My daughter is especially strong in that way. It could be that they're attracted to that, you know, white light essence, maybe. But I personally haven't ever, you know, played around with anything that would conjure something, you know. I've never done that personally. So, no. For that reason, I don't want them following me around, you know.
That's understandable. And this is the exact reason I try not to be psychic. I think I have some abilities, but I definitely shut them off. Because, you know, I don't need that kind of drama in my life, having some entities show up and freaking me out. I got enough stress.
You have to really know how to protect yourself. And it took me a while to learn everything I needed to learn to not have that problem. Although I still have had, I've seen entities often, and we had a weird extraterrestrial thing happen in Canada, and stuff still happens, but it's nothing like it was in those two particular incidences, no.
Well, we don't have any other callers. If you wouldn't mind sharing what your incident in Canada was. UFOs, kind of my specialty, my niche.
Oh, good, yeah. I don't have a whole lot of that experience. I blame it on my husband. He's Canadian. And I remember telling a friend this incident that happened. We were both telling him. I was like, yeah, I didn't have any problem with these little green things until he came along. But anyway, so my husband's Canadian Indian. He's Cree from Alberta. And so we moved up there over the summer of 2012 to live on the reservation with him. And, well, there was a lot of really sad and kind of dark energy there, you know, generational pain, I guess, that has just been built up over time. So the vibe was kind of off anyway. But this one particular night, it was probably 2 or 3 in the morning again. That's common for me. I wake up around 3:15 almost every night. But in this case, it was probably 2 or 3 in the morning. I think my daughter had just signed off and gone to bed. She was playing Xbox Live. And I think she had just gone to bed, and we were having what I thought at first was a thunderstorm. And it was really, I mean, you could just feel the energy. It was just so intense, and these huge, bright green flashes of lightning everywhere. But then I got this really creepy feeling, and I was like, wait a minute, there's no thunder. None. It is deathly quiet in our house. On our property, I mean, quiet, no crickets, no nothing. And at this point, my daughter had woke up or had just gone to bed, so she was kind of still awake-ish. And she's like, Mom, and she's calling me from her bedroom, which was across the hall. And I go in there, and we start getting kind of freaked out because the lightning is so intense, but there's no thunder. And by this time, we had woken my husband up, and he's like asking, well, what's going on? What's going on? I thought you liked thunderstorms. I said, oh, I do. I love them. But this isn't a thunderstorm. Get up. And so he gets up, and we start to go down the hallway. It's a really long hallway to get into the living room. And I look into the living room from the hallway, and a huge flash of lightning comes, and I see these two alien beings in the frickin' living room. And I I mean, I about crapped my pants. I was like, oh, my God, no. No effing way.
Like?
No. No, no. I can't. No. And so I was frightened, and so I didn't really know what else to do, so I hit it with my energy. And it just kind of looked at me like, please, you know? It's not doing anything because it's not a ghost, you know? I'm doing ghost defense, and it's not working. And my daughter saw them, and my husband saw them, and I went into the living room as they kind of, like, faded out, and I went running in the living room like, where is it? Where is it? And every time the lightning flashed, I was terrified to look out the giant picture window because I just knew those things were, they were right there. And my husband's an artist. So about 6 months later, he drew what we saw that night. And we asked a spiritually sensitive friend of ours to check it out. You know, what do you think that is? And he said, oh, that looks like a gray to me. And I was like, what? You know, wait, what? Because all that time, I kind of didn't think it was an alien. I kind of just thought it was some really heavy-duty spirits that just weren't affected by my technique, for example. But I had confirmation through our friend that, no, that really does look like a gray to me. And, wow, I was just like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And it, like, all clicked, and I got really sick to my stomach. Like,
how many
whoa.
Were there?
Probably two in the living room and three or four outside.
So they physically manifest before your eyes.
Yes, they were there. And they were emanating this weird greenish hue, like you could see them through an interdimensional plane. So they weren't gray with the heads and the eyes that you see everywhere. That's not quite what they looked like to my eye. That's why I didn't put it together right away. They didn't look like little gray aliens. They looked like something else, but they actually were aliens. And
oh, wow.
How
yeah.
tall were they?
Oh, these ones were, they were actually probably 4 or 5 feet, maybe. They were not petite, and they weren't bulky. They had like a slim build, an elongated head, kind of almost squarish is what it looked like. And they were, like, kind of thinnish. I guess medium build wouldn't be right. At that height, they would have been thin, I would say. And they weren't real tall, but they weren't real, real short either. They were, you know, average, five feet maybe, 4 or 5 feet. And they had really long, I saw, like, really long arms and elongated fingerish things. And they both looked at me, and then they kind of just shimmered out of view, and that's when I ran in the living room, like, where'd it go? And there are, like, two or three more milling around in the yard. The whole time, this lightning was green. I have never seen green lightning in my life. And it's carrying on like no tomorrow. There's no wind, no sound, and no thunder. And it was the freakiest, one of the freakiest experiences I've ever had.
It'd be pretty unusual to like walk in before they abduct you. It'd be more likely that would be like a post-abduction encounter, like you had already been abducted. So what, did you notice any weird scars or anything unusual, any objects in your bedroom that were moved or your sheets were under you instead of on top of you or anything weird like that?
My husband has had marks on his body, and he has had them repeatedly in the past, and I didn't notice anything personally on me or my child, but I wasn't looking, Jason. I mean, I didn't know. I thought it was some kind of bizarre spiritual, you know, thing. It didn't click that it was an alien thing until a few months later when he drew it and we had some kind of expert advice, so to speak. Because I didn't know anything about aliens, really. I mean, I believe that they're there, but I'd never encountered one that I knew of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. If I did, I didn't notice it on my body or my daughter's body. I didn't notice anything out of the ordinary in the bedroom or my daughter's bedroom, but I wasn't looking for evidence either. But my husband definitely had marks on him, and he always has had this happen to him repeatedly. And the friend that we talked to a few months later said that they were there for him. And they just kind of got surprised that all of a sudden there were two other people there they didn't know about or something. They've been checking on him for a long time, which really freaked us out.
Yeah, that's
so
what I was going to say. I was going to say that they don't usually normally go around abducting families. It's usually there's one person they're interested in. Yeah, like your friend said, it certainly sounds like he's, you know, what they're interested in.
That's
pretty interesting. I haven't heard of green lightning or an emanation of any kind of green hue around aliens. But, you know, who knows?
Really?
That's one of the scariest type of things that a person can encounter is alien abduction.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah. I couldn't imagine. I don't have any memory, any type of weird dream illusion type stuff in my head about that other than what I saw. But I will say something about the green lightning. A couple of years later, I was watching a documentary, and they were talking about this highway in Arizona or New Mexico. They call it Highway to Hell or something, and the truckers have all these legends about this highway that they have to travel. And one of the legends that they had several different people discussing was this bizarre green lightning storm that shows up, and then they have missing time, and then they wake up in their truck 60 miles down the road 6 hours later with no memory of how they got there.
Mm.
And that happened to a few of them. So, I don't know if this was the same type of thing or not, but that's the only other reference to green lightning stuff and, you know, aliens that I've ever heard of. You know, and my husband's been experiencing this stuff, you know, most of his life. And when that movie The Fire in the Sky came out, he went to see that, and he just broke down in tears and was sick to his stomach and wanted to throw up. And he still, to this day, cries when he watches that movie. It terrifies him. And I'm pretty sure it's because it's happened to him, you know.
Has he ever considered going under, like, hypnotic regression or anything like that?
I don't think so, because I don't really think he wants confirmation.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it would be pretty traumatic for him to actually realize it. But he has had numerous... I know, I wish I could get him to call in, because he's got numerous, numerous stories of his personal experiences of what he's seen or quote-unquote dreamt or whatever throughout the years from as a young child until adulthood with this type of stuff. And for me, that was the first time, was in 2012.
That's amazing.
So with aliens anyway.
Well, I've had experiences, so I can empathize with him. I know how terrifying it is. I've had experiences with evidence left behind that was tested in laboratories that was unexplained. No, I've got some really out there alien stories that seriously, it would be more than one show. I mean, dozens of experiences, and so I totally. And you know, Sherry, we got to just do a show on my UFO stuff one of these times.
I would definitely listen to that. I'm curious.
Yeah.
We had a sighting two years ago, I think, here at our house. We saw, well, a UFO. I can't tell you if it's alien or not, but it was not an identifiable object. And there was two sets of two that came in succession, and they were like reddish-orange glowing disks, and they were traveling relatively slow. There was two of them coming through the tree line, and then they kind of stopped and hovered in front of our house, but across, like there's a park across the street from us and down the gully a little. So they were kind of like way over there. And then poof, poof, those two took off. And I was like, whoa, what the hell? And I'm hollering and hollering for him to get in here, get out front, because I'm seeing this. And he finally comes out, and lo and behold, here comes two more doing the same thing. Only these two stuck around for like 5 minutes. And one went further away than the other one and then zipped off and disappeared, and the other one just kind of shimmered out. And that's the only time I've ever seen anything in the sky. And it was really intense, but I don't know. It could have been, it could have been a lot of things, you know, I don't know.
Wow.
You certainly have some amazing paranormal stories, terrifying stories. If I had experienced and seen what you had seen, I wouldn't sleep anymore. I'd probably have to take a fistful of pills just to get sleep.
Oh, you know my secret. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a, oh my gosh, I could tell you a whole bunch more too. I have a whole bunch of them. A lot of stuff like that's been going on in my life, my entire life, except for the alien stuff. That was once in 2012, but yeah.
Well, next time we have a call-in show, you'll have to call in and give us some more of your paranormal experiences.
Okay, sure. Thanks.
But I want to thank you, Jessica, calling in the show and sharing that. Mm-hmm. And
thank
it's always
you.
A pleasure when you call in. Great stuff.
Thank you
That's
very
scary.
Much. Yeah, it was. You guys have a good night.
You too.
You too. Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Well, you know, anytime I hear UFO, my UFO radar goes off. Are you there, Sherry?
Yes, I'm here. I've never had seen a UFO, so it's quite interesting to hear that. And I do believe that they exist. I know they exist. I've just never had the experience to see that in real life. My husband has, but not myself, so...
They're out there. I'm telling you. There's a lot of nonsense out there with people faking all this crap on YouTube, and there's a lot of natural phenomena that get misidentified, and a lot of classified aircraft that get misidentified. But among all that mess out there, I do believe, based on my experiences, that there are beings that I can't necessarily say that they're from another planet. But there are beings out there that I believe are abducting people. So, yeah.
Very much so.
And we have another caller. So let's get to this caller.
Hello.
Hi.
You're live on Paranormal Horizons.
Oh, thank you.
Paranormal Horizons.
Oh, thank you. I forgot about the time difference.
That's okay.
Where
I
got a story that I
from?
Said. Oh, I'm calling from Hawaii.
Oh.
I wish I was in Hawaii right now.
I have a story to share. Actually, I'm going to share one of my first ghost stories. Little kid growing up over on the windward side of Kaneohe, we moved in. I was about 5 years old. And, my grandfather had passed away about a year or maybe a few years around that time. And for the next several years growing up in that house, we would have things happen. Like, as for me, I was a sick child. I couldn't walk maybe 10 yards before I had to stop and catch my breath. I would wake up and I would talk about the big Hawaiian man who didn't like us. That would be in the house. My parents didn't really know what was going on. You know, brand new house, just built. Then there would be times I would go take beer out of the fridge when I'm a little kid and walk it to the back of the hallway and put it on the ground, and I'd say, "This is for Grandpa." I had no idea that the cross that hung on the back of the hallway belonged to my grandfather, and that was his favorite beer I'd take. Well, construction workers were still working on the street, and we were taking a walk down the road, my parents told us, and they talked to the construction worker right across the street. And he pointed at our house, didn't know we lived there, and said, "I feel sorry for whoever lives there." And my dad just kind of jokingly, like, "Oh, why? You know, how come?" Like, "Oh, well, when we built that house, we found bones buried under the house with a shark tooth necklace."
So they took
the shark tooth necklace to the Bishop Museum, and they identified it as belonging to a chief. And they didn't touch the bones. They buried the bones again, said they're sorry, and moved on. So we were living above a chief, the remains of a chief. In Hawaii, the bones are very sacred. So after a while, these things kept picking up. These things kept happening. I can remember one night, a little kid, I hear somebody walking around the living room. My dad's a flight attendant. He's in Tokyo. He's in Japan. He's gone. So I run across the hallway to my mom's room, and I see something walk by the hallway towards the kitchen. And me and my mom are lying in bed, and she can hear like a grown-up walking around. And there was only the kid's home. She thought it was a robber that had broken in the house. And so we didn't have phones in the room or nothing back then. This was in the 80s, you know. So we're listening to it a little bit longer. The footsteps go into the kitchen, and the door opens up. the refrigerator door. And then you can hear somebody rummaging through the refrigerator. And then you can hear, like, the sound of cans opening up, like the carbonation. And my mom is like, what kind of a robber breaks into your fridge? So she looked at me. She's like, it's probably your grandpa. Just go back to sleep. Next morning, we woke up, and there are beer cans all over the counter, empty. MGD, that's Grandpa's favorite beer.
Wow.
It resolved itself, and it's interesting how things work, because later she hired a kahuna, a Hawaiian priest, along with a Catholic priest to do the blessing. The kahuna went right to where the bones were found. Nobody showed him. And told my mom, you got to introduce yourself. So my mom introduced ourselves, you know, we're here to live in peace and take care of the area, take care of the land. We mean no disrespect. And we planted the tea leaves that are sacred all around our house. And the next thing you know, Grandpa never returned because Grandpa was no longer needed to protect us. The chief is now, I believe that the chief is our guardian. The chief is still seen from time to time, a shadow standing in the doorway outside, a shadow walking by the closet. He watches over us to ensure that nothing bad happens to us. So we're blessed that we live there. It's a, you know, scary ghost story turned into a good one.
Isn't that something with guardians in our Asian culture that I believe, and even with my mother, our guardians protect us. Our guardians are with us from the time we're born and all the way to the time we cross over. Is that correct, Joe?
That could be. I feel that his guardian is more bound to the land. And so if we were to move,
okay.
His kuleana, his responsibility is to the land and to whoever lives there that respects it. But it gives me a different perspective where I've gone to bless a few houses before, and I realize that the problem is not that the ghosts need to leave. I hate kicking ghosts out of the house. It's a problem that there's a misunderstanding that needs to be clarified, and they could end up blessed with a guardian and a protector instead of trying to force this potential guardian out of their house.
So what happens in places where there's a lot of bones and people don't respect the land, let alone the body that's being buried? What happens, do you say, Joe?
It's a case-to-case basis. So I've talked to a few people. The building of the H3 interstate on here was horrendous. The amount of accidents that had happened, the amount of workers that had died, it's just, it was bad. I mean, it took 40 years to build. Well, what is it, a 13, 14 mile stretch?
Wow.
And then you have people who, this construction worker I talked to didn't believe in it, digging up the bones in a church to build the church and swearing and cussing. And he got visited every night by these horrible, horrible nightmares until the priest did a blessing and he had to formally apologize. You know, so it could take on many forms, up to the point where even the bones, there was a guy who was telling Glenn Grant, who's a storyteller and a published author. I grew up reading his books. He, as a kid, walked into a burial cave, didn't know what it was, crawled around in the pitch black, grabbed something round and brought it back out. He saw that it was a human skull. So he quickly puts it back in the cave, and then he tells Dr. Grant, he's like, this was when I was a kid, now I'm a grown, now I'm a full grown. And he takes his hand out of his pocket. It's still the size of a small child. It just never grew.
That is wild. Wow.
That's amazing.
Is there any kind of medical explanation for that?
I'm not too sure.
Yeah, that's pretty scary stuff. And I wanted to say that a lot of times when we talk to people in the paranormal or just people that have problems with spirits, they always associate shadow figures as being demonic or evil. And you're saying in this case that this, and I never believed that to be true. I think just because something is shadow doesn't, or dark in color, I don't believe that it makes it evil. But you're saying with this chief, he often presented himself as a shadow and wasn't evil at all. He's your protector, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's just a vibration. It's a lower vibration, but as we perceive it as a shadow, they probably perceive us as a shadow as well.
Uh-huh.
I've come across so many stories. One of them, there's this lady that would sleep every night, and she'd wake up with nightmares, and there'd be a figure standing or sitting at the edge of her bed holding a knife over her, this black shadowy figure. just holding the knife over her, watching her sleep, and then it would disappear. Come to find out, that was her brother who had passed away, and he was protecting her from the thing that was causing the nightmares.
Oh, wow.
So there can be a lot of misinterpretation. I mean, you hear that, and you're thinking, oh, my God, evil spirit, but I think it's important.
You don't want to
kick
out the wrong one, you know?
Yeah, you can't just naturally assume something is menacing, even if it appears to be.
Yeah.
I like gut feeling. Like, I can feel when something is, I mean, there's a difference between being scared of something because you don't know what it is and feeling this dark intent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. It's all your instincts and your intuition and whatever, you know. It's when you're not looking for the answer that you tend to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for calling in. We do have another caller. Thank you for calling in and sharing those stories.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Aloha.
We appreciate you.
Okay. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. Wow, that was a good story.
Yeah, crawling into a cave and finding a skull, that would be an interesting experience. And it also makes me wonder, you know, people have been on this planet forever. Like, I couldn't imagine with all the construction going on all over how many, you know, unknown cemeteries or remains there are.
Exactly.
Because there have to be bodies, like literally everywhere. So,
yeah.
Well, I think our next caller is Tim from Alaska, so let's get him on.
Yay.
Hello. Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, interesting topic. How you guys doing today?
Very good.
Welcome to Paranormal Horizons.
Right on. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Well, you know, unfortunately, like Jason was saying, you know, there is, you know, there, human life or any life has been inhabiting this earth for so many years, thousands of years that we know of. Unfortunately, our bodies decompose, and in most environments, decompose much faster than others. So it's very rare that you'll have something that has not been mummified or put in a certain condition to where it's not ate up by acids or lactic acids or different other types of biological breakdowns, especially in certain situations. But every once in a while, it's very rare, but every once in a while, that circumstance or that environment is just right where it does preserve the biological portion of our bodies, which would be bone or hair or fingernail or teeth, things like that, which would be the last to basically break down. But the soul, that vibration part, lasts forever. You know, that the breath, the spark, that's the thing that doesn't die. And that's the thing that is there. That's the part of the paranormal that's there. That's the part of the energy that's there. And that's what it's all about, physically speaking.
Exactly.
Well, there must be
yeah.
a lot of energy. Now you're in Alaska, so are there any really notable haunted places out there in Anchorage?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's something that you're never going to be able to get away with anywhere. In fact, they have a lot of UFO up here, too. But sometimes I feel like they go hand in hand. You know, what has not been resolved needs to be solved. And there's a lot of resolution up here for sure. And there is a lot of different places or things that happen. There's a research up here as well. And I know of where they have known fact of paranormal activity that's happened. There used to be, and I think it was more of touristic side of it. in Anchorage, but I've never got to experience that where it's haunted Anchorage or something like that. You got to remember Anchorage was first a tent city. So when before even the Klondike or Gold Rush, it was part of Russia, and they had Inuit and Nuitpik. But then when they had the Gold Rush and the people came up from California and all across the lower 48, the first towns that were set up here were tents. So people lived in tents, and it was communities, tent cities. And if you ever been to Portland, Oregon, I mean, it was something similar to what you ever went down there and saw the tent. How all the tents are all down there in Portland, Oregon, much larger than that. And it was very, very, from what I can tell, the sanitation part of it, you know, the whole everyone having to live together, was really rough, you know, put us some hard times. And with hard times comes hard stories. And with hard stories comes a lot of that, that whatever's left over or behind. And, yeah, if you want to... It'd be cool if you could come up here and find out for yourself, because it's here, you know, definitely.
Energy doesn't disappear. It just changes form, right? Isn't that some sort of physics or something?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Hey, and, you know, right now, go ahead.
I was gonna totally change gears completely. I remember you were telling me one time, a long time ago, a story, and it was a long time ago, and I don't remember if it's, it was just a long time ago. You were in an RV, and there was a bright light shining in.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Tell us about that. I know there's really not much to it, but when you told me that, I was like, oh, man, here's another abductee.
Yo, let me tell you. it's great that you bring that up, because I was just thinking about that just not that long ago. That was actually in a little town called Blanca. It's Blanca, Colorado. It's in San Luis Valley right there. The Great Sand Dunes National Monument. You have Alamosa, Mount Blanca, Sangre de Cristos, and it is right out in the middle of nowhere. Nothing out there. There's no nothing. I mean, we were just getting ready to break ground, just getting ready to put in. We didn't have a well in yet. We didn't have electricity out there yet. And it's just wide open. And this is in Colorado, southern Colorado. And I was in a small RV, C-class, and stepdaughter was in the front. I was in the back. And my wife was on her way. She had not come yet. This was quite a few years back. And we had just gotten everything turned off. It's pitch dark out there. I mean, the stars are shining so bright you can almost hear them buzzing, you know. It's just quiet. And I had just fallen asleep, and I was fast asleep. And the whole everything was like a bright white light. Even like it was like inside and out, you could not see anything except for this strong, very strong, bright white light, and a feeling of you can't hear, or there was no sense, there was nothing, there was no sound, there was no hot, there was no cold, there was nothing but this very strong, powerful being of in white. And when it was over with, I remember running to the front of the RV, and I was to my stepdaughter at the time. I was going, did you see that? Did you see something like that? And she goes, I don't know. I came out of a white room. I was in a way big white room. Everything was white. You know, she was a young girl. And we both experienced the same thing, though, and it was just the weirdest thing ever. Oh, my God. It just sends chills up my spine when I think about it.
I'm telling you should see a hypnotherapist and regress back to that time to see what really happened. But we've got 5 minutes left, and we did have another caller, but they dropped. So, we got to wrap this up anyways. But, yeah, I'm telling you, man, something funky happened there in Southern Colorado.
Yeah, Southern Colorado for sure. And, I hear up here in Colorado, in the Rocky Mountain Range, the Rocky Mountain Range runs all the way up here to where I'm at right now, because it's through Canada and into Alaska. And you hear about it all the time. I mean, all the time. And the same way in Washington State, I've never came in contact with any type of extraterrestrial UFO encounter or a close encounter of any kind that I know of when I was in Washington State. But who knows if you have or if you haven't. It just seems like you could have and just never remember it, or it could have been, something that you're not aware of. These are things that we don't know. That's what keeps it so real. Surreal is when believing in something that you don't know, or know something that most people don't believe. It's freaky.
Yeah, and I've told you some of the stuff that I've experienced, and whatever it is and whatever's going on, it definitely has an ability to mask your memories or completely eliminate memories of the event. So it's kind of scary stuff.
Absolutely.
But I want to thank you for calling in. It looks like the caller that dropped called back in. So, thanks for calling in, Tim. And we'll be talking to you later.
Yep, I hope so. Thank you so much. You both have
all
a good
right.
week. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, you too.
Bye.
All right. Another caller?
Yep. Hey,
hello
you're
there.
Hello, how's it going? Who's this?
It's Warren.
Hey.
How's it going?
Going pretty good.
Good. Share your story.
I don't know. It's a toss up between UFOs or the paranormal. Let's see. Well, I can share a few stories about UFOs, the earliest I can remember.
Yeah, we got 3 minutes or so left. We can go a couple minutes over too. So,
all right.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I'm actually shaking, trying to tell you this. It's still kind of freaking me out. My earliest memory of a UFO was maybe 2 or 3 years old. I remember standing at the picture window looking towards the south, just right above our garden, and there was a hole in the sky. And in that hole, I could see the stars and whatnot. This was like probably early summer, maybe about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the evening. And then the second time, I dreamt or had a vision. That's the thing. They came as visions or whatever, but the feeling is that, I did experience it. The second thing I do remember was at nighttime, just down the road, like our driveway, another hole appeared, but this time inside the hole, it was almost like a parallel world, kind of like outer space, but everything was all green and whatnot. And what I remember were these, I don't know if they were angels or winged creatures. I just remember that they had metallic skin that had a green glow. Whatever these things were, I just remember they were coming out of this hole and they were chasing after the kids, the children. And what I remembered was myself and my cousins, we're getting chased down the road or running back to the house and we're screaming and whatnot. And then the vision ends. Years later, when I was probably about maybe 9 or 10 years old, I used to play with my friends. They just lived across the field from us. And during the summer when it was raining a lot, The one house I went to, I referred to her as Old Lady Crane. She was very old. But I remember the one day, it was raining a lot. It was Friday. It was getting dark. Finally, she told her two granddaughters. She told them in Cree that I can't really say it because I'm not really fluent in my own language, but the translation was, walk him towards his house. Get him there right now before the sky beings come for him. And that kind of freaked me out, but at the same time, I was more concerned with getting home. And then another time, probably about a year later, from in that same field, I remember having a dream of lying in that field, looking up in the sky, and watching. I'm still kind of freaked out by it. A football-sized craft just slowly hovering, going towards the north. I just remember looking and just gasping, like there wasn't really anything I could do. I couldn't exactly leave or run. Like, kind of like, imagine being an ant and you see this giant foot coming for you. Where do you run? That's the best way I could describe, you know, to appreciate, well, you know, my point of view, like seeing this craft. Like, I've had many dreams about it. It never really affected me until now, just telling you the story. It's all of a sudden the feeling where the trauma is kind of hitting me. So I'm trying my hardest just to keep my composure about it. But, you know, I just wanted to share a few things, you know, what I've experienced. And also having dreams of being in a matrix. I've had many dreams where I would dream of my old house where I grew up. The only problem was the house was too perfect, too basic.
Oh, really?
And it was weird. So when I look, I step outside and look at the sky, and kind of like a matrix, every now and then I would see the grid lines. Like where the stars would be, I would see the grid lines where they would position these objects and whatnot. And where whatever I saw, sometimes I would see a clear sky, or sometimes I would see ships. Or anyway,
why do you think they appear to some people and they don't appear to other people? What do you think it is?
I really don't know.
Okay.
I will say that being somebody that has experienced these alien kind of things, you know, you're talking about dreams, and you know, some people are going to say, oh, well, they're just dreams, you know, your subconscious. And what I've found in my experience is there's two different kind of dreams. There's alien dreams, which are clearly alien dreams, and then there's these other alien dreams that are just have a completely different feel to them and are not scattered, and it's almost like reliving an experience versus just having some weird random alien dream. And I totally understand what you're talking about. I had some really, really scary things happen. Getting abducted out of a hotel room, trying to run out of the room, and like ran into one of these small beings while I was making a break for the door. They shut the power off in the hotel room, but I could still see the line from the hallway light. Just crazy stuff like that, where there was evidence left behind that went to a lab and it's unidentified. And I totally feel you, and I believe that they're out there.
Yeah.
My first impression is that you guys were the chosen ones. I don't know what that means, but that's my first impression. You guys were the chosen ones.
It's not something Warren would probably agree. It's not something that I particularly would want to be chosen for. Or which, you know, feel like I've been chosen for, because ever since that one, and that's just one incident that happened in a hotel room, I had PTSD because I was staying in hotels a lot. So I'd rent a room, and if it had the same layout as that one room, I'd go and I'd change rooms because it would freak me out.
Yeah.
It's terrible, and there's nothing more scary than alien abduction that I can think of. Except for Justin Bieber, he's pretty scary.
Yeah, they can take him.
yeah. Why are they taking me? Why can't they just take somebody like that? Why can't they just like take people in prisons? Why good people like us? Why do we get harassed by these interstellar entities? Well, you should call in another time when we're doing a call-in show and share some more of your experiences. I'd be very interested in hearing it.
I'd be glad to.
Awesome. Well, yeah, we are out of time. So
yeah.
I want to thank you.
Yeah.
I know, it's gone so fast. I want to thank you for calling in, and thank all the callers for calling in. We had some great stories. We heard from Hawaii, Alaska, Oregon, and I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. And, yeah, thanks for calling in and sharing a little bit of your UFO experiences with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a good night. All right, Sherry, what do we got next week?
Next week will be a returning guest. She, her name is Karen Dahlman. And I don't know if many of you have remembered, she is the Ouija board lady. She's had 43 years experience. She's right out of L.A., written many books. She does some touring, guest speaking all over the world. She's coming back to go and explain the difference between parasites, entities, demons. So we're going to have her back on the show. She's going to give us a breakdown of these different so-called entities or whatever, and she's going to tell us a little bit more about what the difference is, and we're just going to be glad to have her back.
I always worry when we talk about evil spirits and demons, because I think that just the thought of it might attract something, so I might have to, like, hold a rosary during the show or something.
Well, just like Jessica said, we need to grid ourselves. Just have the good, the best in good, best intentions, and really educating people out there that are willing to be open and listening to what the differences are. So I think it will be great.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a good show. I want to thank everybody. Thank the callers for calling in. And do you have anything else, Sherry?
Nope, I don't. Anyway, really quickly, I will be at the Body, Mind, and Spirit Expo in Portland, Oregon at the Convention Center. I'll be doing a big gallery reading on Saturday and Sunday. So if any of you would like to pop in and say hello or just get a personal reading, come on in and see me in person, get a hug, and say hi.
Yes, get a hug. There's not enough hugs in this world.
Hugs are wonderful. Love hugs.
Great. So much nonsense and evil people and madness out there. People just need to start being nice again. And, you know, if everybody just hugged everybody, it'd be a much better world.
And sharing love, truly caring and sharing love with each other. That's what the world is all about. It should be.
Absolutely. All righty. Cool. Well, we'll be back next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time. Hope everybody has a fantastic week. And check us out and give us a like on Facebook, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. And with that, I bid everybody adieu and have an awesome week. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Peace. Take care, everybody. Have a nice week.